don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. In the studio with me, as usual, Bill the producer. And CJ's in here, one of my dive students, and you've brought along your spawn.
That's right. Ryan is here.
Yeah, I am.
Hey, Ryan. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Ryan, how old are you again?
Good.
He's 23.
23 years old.
I'm 23.
He's just 2 years younger than our maybe soon-to-be vice president.
He's 7.
Oh, okay. 7 years old. And he's excited today, aren't you, Ryan?
Yes.
Why? You don't know? He's like fiddling with his drawers there, CJ. What's going on?
Hands off the junk.
Okay.
I don't know why he does that.
No, CJ brought in his son today because I called him up yesterday and I said, dude, you won't believe this. Two things in 1 week that I've marked off my diver bucket list, so to speak. Yes. Last week, I was a champion at catching lobster, and I told you I was going out again on our friend Barry, Barry's boat, and we went down to Fort Lauderdale on Saturday after the broadcast. And lo and behold, yours truly, Greg the Lobster Slayer, witnessed a lobster walk live in the flesh. And that's where the lobsters literally come out from under their cracks and crevices in the reef, gather together like they're getting ready to call a major play on a football field, like they huddle. And then they start marching up and down the beach or marching from shallow to deep water.
Now, here's actually the real key to the whole success that Greg had, though. He called one of the teams for too many men on the field, and I think this was genius because he was able to just pluck them right out of the huddle because there were too many out on the field.
That's right.
That's genius.
Yes. I had to take matters into my own hands, and I did. I pick and choose and limit it out on lobster. I am the lobster slayer. And one of my goals as a diver and a lobster hunter has to actually witness a lobster walk. And I have finally done that. I've heard about it. I've seen video of it. But I've never seen this in a person, and it was quite impressive.
CJ, this is what it's like. You see, this is what it's like to be me, because he took you out earlier, and were there lobsters walking around when he took you out?
No.
No. No, no, no. No. When he takes me out, we're at an inland spring. Visibility's like, 45 inches. and he takes you guys to places, where the visibility's 100 feet and the water temperature's 84.
Yeah,
84. And then when you come out of the water, you're in some sort of tropical paradise.
Sure.
And then eventually he brings back muddy water and forces me to drink it. But when he takes me out, there's no lobsters walking around.
Hold on. You guys actually have something in common, because did I not call you, Bill, right before I went down to South Florida? I said, hey, dude, I'm going lobster hunting.
Yeah, like 5 minutes before. Hey, we got to go. In like 5 minutes. Can you go?
I'm packed up. Could I pick
everything?
You up on the way?
Yeah.
All right. James went, and he came along, and he
apparently he's got
too.
Nothing going on. All right. He's lucky like that. I had a family my grandfather, who's 92, who I haven't seen in like 6 years, they had a big family reunion thing planned. There's no way I could miss it last weekend. Greg calls me 5 p.m. on Friday, the night prior. He goes, hey, we're going to go lobster diving. You want to go? Yeah, I do. I'd love to, but I can't.
Where's your priorities, mister?
You know, the lobsters walk.
You're saying I should put the lobsters once before family.
Heck yeah.
Now, hold on. Just so we all understand, Greg took James, offered it to you and me on the way out the door. Did he mention any of his family members going with him?
No.
Okay, just making that point. Okay, it's not like he doesn't have a wife and two children.
No, but they asked me to leave.
So that's actually how he maintains a nice balance.
Exactly.
The harmony. Keeps the harmony.
This is true. So anyway, I did invite you guys, and you never know when you hear rumors that they're going to walk, and the one of the theories is that after a big storm that stirs up the lobsters and causes them to get disoriented where they huddle together and start walking up and down the coast. And so I knew the
odds.
Why
do they do that? Are they trying to get to safety? Are they freaking out?
Nobody knows. The rumor, you know, from what I've heard from so-called lobster experts is they don't really know why. They do this. They haven't figured it out. They don't really know
what is there to know about a lobster that you could consider yourself an expert if this phenomenon is unexplained? Are you really an expert if what you know is, you know, they eat stuff off the bottom and they're tasty with butter?
Yeah. Mr. Expert, why do they do this? Yeah, nobody knows.
Well, the people who study lobster, they don't. Really?
Lobsterologist?
Yeah, lobsterologist.
I guess the jury is out exactly as to why they walk. There are theories, but nobody really knows for sure
What's a theory? What's one of the theories?
One of the theories is that after the first big storm of the season, that the lobster get disoriented and they come out from the reef and they gather together and they move and they march up and down the beach or up and down the coast or out to deeper water or from deeper water into shallow water.
Okay, that's a what, but that's not a why.
Well, they don't know why. That's what I'm telling you. They
but
don't
now I thought you were
going to
give me a theory and you just said what they do.
No, the theory is when do they do this? Because they're not sure if it's because of the storm or if it's something that's programmed into their...
Could it just be the start of football season?
It could be.
Because they look like huddles.
It could be.
I mean, it could be.
So,
that
a year ago. Now, I haven't seen this phenomenon. Please explain it to me. Mm-hmm. Is it a straight line, or is it just like chaos? They're just everywhere.
Well, a lobster walk is, you know, you see video of this. And
is it like a conga line?
It is. They line up single file, and they march along the bottom of the ocean. Or
single
on the sand.
File, you're kidding me.
I swear to you, they're lined up perfectly. Now what happens, though, is that I think what happens after storms and stuff is that they huddle together first, and they, like, get together, and I saw probably about 15 or 20 of them in a circle, huddled together like a football team getting ready to call a play. And then they, like, okay, you go first, I'll go second. And then they start lining up, and then they literally march off from that circle of lobster,
that
group of lobster.
Actually, I have a theory. They huddle up to make the play. After about 3 hours, these are crafty creatures. After about 3 hours, they say, "Hey, none of us have opposable thumbs, and none of us can hold the football. Let's go find somebody with thumbs." And then they go out looking for somebody.
Maybe that's what it was, because they literally marched right in front of me.
The theory is they're looking for Tim Tebow.
Maybe they're looking for somebody with thumbs.
Huh.
That's just one theory, probably not one that holds much water, but, you know, what are you going to do?
So you were able to just grab them at will?
Pretty much. I mean, you still have to have the skill to loop them or catch them, but
yeah,
it's much
skill.
Easier.
The crafty creature.
You don't have to go sneak them out.
Well, they're still very fast.
You don't have to get them out of the hole.
You don't have to get them out of the hole. They're out in the open, so they're, you know, much easier to kind of get your looper around the back of them, and then you know, just kind of scooted around their carapace,
the
body of the lobster, and
how long while they were out there did it take you to capture 18 of them?
Yeah,
long?
We had three people. You can do six a day, so we could get up to 18 in our particular effort.
Yeah.
That took less than 5 minutes because I am the lobster slayer.
Less than 5 minutes.
Because I'm the lobster slayer.
He's still sticking to the fact that he's got skill involved.
Let me tell you something. Mister, I don't have a lobster looper. there is a skill to being able to do the looper and getting it around the lobster without spooking them first.
All right, now
you have to ease it around the back of them, and there is a technique to doing that without spooking them away from your looper.
Now, is the fact that Larry, who was right behind them a second ago, is now gone, does that spook them? No, they're like idiots in a haunted house. That's what it is. The house says, "Gada."
Now, wait a minute.
And then they say, "Oh, where's Larry?" Now, and then somebody shows a picture of their girlfriend, and then they're the next one gone.
Now, CJ went lobster hunting with me a couple weeks ago, and we found some lobster, and the first lobster he went after, what happened? Do you remember, CJ?
He got out, and he scooted backwards across the reef, and I patiently chased him down and got him.
Right, but the first time you went after him, because you didn't know any better, you put the net onto the side by the side of him as opposed to behind him.
Well, I couldn't get behind him
because you didn't know what to
do. Couldn't get behind him because he was in the little crack.
Yeah, we'll see.
Now, hold on. CJ, if you saw them running in a straight line, would you be able to figure out which way they were going?
Yeah, pretty much.
Would you have been deceived by them in the straight line?
Well, first of all, you don't catch them if they're walking one way. You remember, they swim backwards. So you have to stop them and go behind them and get them to move backwards.
What do you take some sort of lobster shepherding dog with you underwater to circle them up?
I'm telling you, it's not as easy as it sounds, mister. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Hold on.
To catching
how
lobster,
many did James
who's
catch?
Who's trying to lecture the lobster slayer? Hello!
How many did James catch and how many did you catch?
James did probably, I'd say he did four of them.
So you caught 14
four or five.
And he caught four and it took you 5 minutes. There's a limited amount of skill that's required for anything that can be done in 5 minutes.
Well, no, wait, you're talking about comparing the lobster slayer to a newbie lobster catcher. And that's the difference. I've done this for many years. I've had quite a bit of practice catching my lobster. I can get around with a lobster looper.
If you can catch four of them in 5 minutes, there's still not a lot of skill involved.
Well, no, he didn't catch four in 5 minutes. He caught four over the two-day period.
Okay.
So he caught, he probably snagged a couple during that
What
run.
Was he using for a tool?
He used a tickle stick and a net.
Okay.
So he wasn't using a looper. But he did all right, you know, especially for the first time. And it gave you plenty of opportunity to practice. You know, we could only keep 18. That didn't mean we couldn't catch a few more and practice and let them go or whatever without, you know, spooking them too much. But so he practiced and he'd catch one and then he'd let it go and that kind of thing. So, but it was pretty impressive. It's quite an amazing thing to see a spectacle like that that is so rare to witness firsthand in person. I mean, to see a lobster walk is pretty
damn
cool.
I can't take any more of this talk now because it's driving me nuts. Let's make plans right now after Hannah. After storm, Hurricane Hannah, tropical storm, whatever it turns out to be.
Right.
After that passes, you and I got to go.
Here's the problem. It supposedly only happens after the first storm of the season.
But they only get disoriented once. They categorize that the storm's already gone by in their vast brain.
I don't care if they march then. I just want to go catch them the hard way.
Yes. Well, and I don't know. It could happen after the next storm. So the bottom line is, You just have to go and you take your chances with the idea of like, hey, you probably won't even see
him. I didn't believe him. I was in the car and I got a text message and James sent me a text message. It said, dude, we caught 18.
He did not make the mistake of texting me first. He sent the picture of them on the boat first.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
He sent
Douche.
The picture and then the text.
Douche.
Those are bragging rights that you earn when this happens.
Douche.
And it's part of the experience.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Is there a lobster boy in UCJ? Come on.
Yeah, why not?
What about you, Bill? Is there a lobster boy in you somewhere?
No. No, that would violate my restraining order. I'd be back in prison in a heartbeat.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I think it goes to the root of all divers. You know, once you've been lobster hunting, you have a tendency to catch the fever. CJ, I know you got it.
I love it.
So you can imagine my excitement when I did witness a lobster walk off the coast of Fort Lauderdale last week.
Yeah, I have to imagine it because I couldn't go.
Yes. That's the whole idea. When you do witness it, part of the experience is to be able to brag and boast and rub it into all your buddies who didn't go with you, right, Barry?
I don't know about the catching part, but you're good at that part.
Yeah, now Barry was there, and that's part of the experience, don't you think, Barry, is being able to rub it into all your friends?
Oh, yeah. Just hauling a bag full of lobster over the side of the boat and dumping them all out so they kind of walk around on you. It's pretty cool.
I'll tell you what, having 18 lobster in a bag and lifting it up over the transom of a boat is no small feat.
No,
basically about the size of your kid right there, CJ. It's basically taking Ryan and putting him in a lobster bag and trying to lift him up on a boat. That's how heavy this thing was.
Not easy to do.
Yeah.
CJ, the reason why lobsters walk is because they don't fly.
Oh!
Man, you should go on the road with that material.
Help yourself to the hot and cold salad bar.
That's good stuff.
Yes. Ooh, it was late, but it should never have come in the first place. But Barry took us out on his boat, and that was a first for you, too, wasn't it, Barry? You had never seen a lobster walk before, had you?
No, well, I've seen them, a lot of them out there after a storm, and they will come out. You know, the thing is that there were so many out there that all the boats were going out, getting their limits, and coming back in, and, you know, who knows what with Anna, when she comes by, I think what they do is they actually dig a lot of them up out of the deep water and push them up towards shore. So, because basically, I think that's what they're doing is they're heading east back out into deeper water.
Yeah, but the reality is no one really knows. I haven't heard anybody give any definitive reasoning behind what the lobsters are really doing. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
No, I haven't heard anything like that, but I'll tell you what, the locals are certainly not going to tell anyone else that they're out there. If you noticed, when one told another, it was like the internet. It just spread out like a virus, and you just had hundreds of boats out there. They were all over the place.
Yeah, that is true. It doesn't show up on the news a lot, you hear people, boaters, talking about it, but the local news, like, it doesn't make it up to Orlando too much.
Lobsters are walking in a line underwater. That strikes you as being, I know it's interesting, and it's the sort of thing that a diver or a lobster hunter or a lobster slayer such as yourself would be interested in, but it doesn't really rise to the level of being newsworthy.
Says you, loser. But I'm sorry, that is very newsworthy to me.
All righty.
Okay. Yeah, see, if you would have caught a lobster, you would understand this. But you've caught a lobster before.
I have never hunted a lobster.
Really?
I have, I believe, in
That's
my life,
why.
Spotted
mean,
a half
you mean,
dozen.
You mean I've actually done something that Bill hasn't?
Oh, just yeah. One? Just one?
Well, the good news is we found a few nice spots down there in South Florida, one being right off of Hollywood Beach, a dive spot that Barry found that I'm not supposed to share with anyone, by the way.
Oh, good.
But
so
Hollywood Beach.
So where is it?
Any morning, you can go
out
there.
Throw the GPS
right
out there.
And bam! A little nice reef ledge right off there. You can have some fun doing it. So maybe we'll do that. We'll go down after Hannah or some other time here in the next few weeks and try to
Can we go down after Montana? There. Can we go down after Smiley or Miley? Or
where's that rim shot?
Holy. Hold on. I have to wait for it. Hold on.
Okay.
It needs to
wait
build up.
Wait for it.
Lame.
Okay. Anyway.
What are those Vikings doing dropping down from the ceiling?
I don't know. That's just nutty. All right. So I see a lobster walk. Mark that off the list. If that weren't enough, in the same week, I have another thing that happened this week that totally blew my mind. I'll share it with you next. You're not going to want to miss it. Ryan's excited. Look at him.
Look at him. He's vibrating.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio. Are you ready? ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com. Are you wishing for a warmer relationship with your wetsuit? Well, then you need to wear Waterproof. Unlike the mass-produced, super-stretch approach to wetsuit design, Waterproof wetsuits are made using multiple pieces of higher-quality neoprene to sculpt a suit that matches the human form. The result is a wetsuit that fits better, lasts longer, and keeps you warmer. Waterproof has been the leader in wetsuit design overseas for years and now are available in the States. Go to waterproof-gear.com to find the dealer near you. That's waterproof-gear.com.
So I witness a lobster walk in South Florida, then I get back, I'm basking in the glory of a successful lobster hunt, and freezing my lobster tail for a nice Labor Day weekend feast, and I get a call from NetDoc. We know him as Pete from Scuba Board. He calls me up and says, "Hey, Greg, I'm going over to Venice Beach, Florida to hunt for shark teeth on Thursday. You want to come?" I'm like, okay, that's been on my list for some time. It's a very popular site in Florida where you can go and you can find these little shark teeth, these little fossilized shark teeth right on the beach in Venice, Florida. And he said, "Well, we're going to go out on a boat about 1,000 yards offshore. You could swim to it, but it's easier to access from a dive vessel."
All right, so you're going out there to get your little one-inch shark's teeth, which can be found almost on any sandy beach in the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, not any sandy beach. Actually, there's pockets, areas off the beach where you can find shark teeth fairly common, Venice Beach in Florida being one of those. And here, I got a few of them that I found. Right,
so these are just regular shark's teeth, just teeth from sharks that have been swimming around in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, you go into any little gift shop in the state of Florida, you'll find these little shark teeth that you can buy for, you know, 10 for a buck or something like that. And I found a few of those. Pretty cool, Ryan. Ryan is CJ's son.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're digging that, right?
These are like black.
Little black. They're fossilized shark teeth.
Oh, so they're not new shark's teeth. These are old shark's teeth.
Like
old,
see,
old. Yeah,
now, Ryan, if these sharks would have brushed their teeth, they wouldn't be black.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I don't know.
Ryan, how old do you think these sharks' teeth are?
Like 1 million years old.
Yeah, that's old.
Yeah,
that's really old.
Yeah, what? This one has, like, little spikes on the side of it. And
pretty sweet, though, huh?
Yeah, this one's kind of big. And
yeah.
It's almost as old as Greg.
Hey, now. Hey, that wasn't funny. Oh, wait for it. All right, so...
That's okay. Bill's reflexes aren't what they used to be either.
Yeah.
All right, so... We...
Good times!
Yes!
Super good games.
So we jump off the boat, and I find those small little shark teeth, and I'm like, okay, this is fun. And they said, well, you might find some bigger ones. So we're swimming along in about 30 feet of water.
Now, this is West Coast, right?
Venice? Yeah, West Coast, okay. And we found, well, I'll tell you after the break, we found something a little bigger than those small ones he's looking at right now. Quite impressive.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Pescado Diabolico, the evil god of sharks.
Sharks?
Yep. The story goes that one night when the sea winds moan, old Shark Face will walk upon the land, and all his man-eaters will leave the briny deep and follow him, driving all of us humans back into the sea.
My head is like a shark, yeah.
So we're diving in about 30 feet of water off of Venice Beach. Visibility isn't very good, but you don't need much vis when you're looking for shark teeth. There's probably about 5 feet of visibility. So we dive down. We're towing a dive flag with us, and we're looking along the bottom, and I'm finding these small little shark teeth, which is what I expected for an event like this. But they said, hey, keep an eye out. If you see any triangle-type shapes, bigger ones, you could find, you know, a megalodon shark tooth. I said, yeah, right, whatever. I don't believe it. And sure enough, look at this. I found three of these things. And I couldn't believe.
Holy crap. What like arrowheads.
They're massive. I found, whoa. I mean, these aren't even the biggest
they're
ones
bigger.
On the boat. But these megalodon shark teeth I found right off of Venice
whoa.
Beach.
Whoa.
That's huge.
And and they figure for every inch of tooth relates to 10 feet of shark.
Whoa.
So I have a couple of them that are about 2 to 3 inches long. So you're talking about a 25-foot long shark. And then a big one where the root of it's kind of eaten away. But if that would have been a complete tooth, that would probably have been a 4-inch tooth. You think there, Ryan?
Yeah.
That's
easily.
A massive
look at
tooth,
this,
huh?
Put it together. See?
And you can put it. It might be from the same shark. You never know. You never know. But I literally found these shark teeth laying on the bottom, just right there. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a shark tooth. I can't. And you just pick it up.
This is not as big as my head.
It's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not as big as my head.
Well, okay, it's not as big as your head. Yeah, but maybe next time.
That's a story that Bill told him on the way in.
Exactly. Oh, that the shark teeth are as big as his head?
Yeah.
That's still pretty impressive, isn't it, Ryan?
Yeah.
That'd make one heck of a shark necklace to put around your neck, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that may be what I do. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but it was really cool to go off of Venice Beach and hunt for shark teeth and then, lo and behold, actually find them.
That is pretty cool. Those are huge.
Yeah, and I guess it's fairly common for them to go off this boat, the Aristocat, Arista-Cat with a K.com. You can take their six-pack out, and they find these megalodon shark tooth fairly often. Like, there's usually one or two people on the boat out of six that'll find a one or two of these teeth. Now, we went right after the tropical storm Faye had blown through the area, so it's, you know, churned up things a bit, and they think that's why we saw so many or found so many, because everybody end up in our group found, like, anywhere from 3 to 6 shark teeth. And that wasn't the biggest. I think we had like a good 4-inch shark tooth, megalodon shark tooth, found by a couple people. That's a 40-foot shark. A 40-foot great white, ancestor of the great white shark.
Yeah, I'm doing a little research here on the internet, and one of these sites says 60 feet long.
60?
77 tons.
Woo! What? Oh, you can see the blood on it? You think that's what that is?
Yeah.
It could be. It could be. That's a sign. I don't know. It's creepy, but it's cool. And when there's only 5 foot of viz, too, you're thinking, these are extinct shark, right?
Yeah.
Why am I finding so many of these teeth laying around?
I don't know.
Maybe
most of them died.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Maybe they just pulled their tooth out.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a war between.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, God knows what it is.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton cruise. Necton's swap-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way, you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. Rustic. Real. A full-service resort. Friendly. Really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving. Oh, amazing diving. The third largest barrier reef in the world. Cavern. Blue hole. walls, big fish, and sharks.
All right already. What is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas, Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to coralcavernsresort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. coralcavernsresort.com.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at bahamasdiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip, number 18. Guys, moray eels find it terribly offensive to be compared to your manhood.
Don't be talking about me, man.
Besides, the reality is that 98% of us are more comparable to the lowly glowworm.
I heard that.
Not me, of course.
You crazy? Who told you that?
But there's no need for me to brag here.
They're telling you lies.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. We have Jeff Myers in the studio, COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. How you doing today, Jeff?
I'm good, Greg. You're looking thoughtful, though. What's up?
Well, I was actually thinking of a guy I met on the dive boat the other day.
What about him?
He was awesome. He was well into his 70s and still going strong.
Man, that's cool.
I asked him what the secret is. You know, he just smiled and he said the art of adaptation.
Seriously?
Yeah, I asked him what he meant, but all he had to say was that it meant something different for everyone.
Cryptic.
Yeah, what do you think it means?
I think it means there's hope for all of us.
You going to speak in riddles, too?
I mean that just because our bodies or our situations change. It doesn't mean our diving days are done. It just means we have to change with them.
Ah, the art of adaptation.
Yeah, think about it. There's not one of us that goes through life without experiencing physical changes of one kind or another. Sometimes it's due to injury or a medical condition. Sometimes it's just time getting us. But physical changes are part of the game.
So what do you do about it?
Well, the first thing you do is know thyself.
More with the cryptic, huh?
Sorry. What I mean is that you have to know yourself before you can know if something is wrong or what kind of adaptation may be required. For example, if you really take stock of yourself, you know what gets sore, what muscles are stronger, which ones are more susceptible to injury, that sort of thing.
Got it. Any suggestions on how to do it?
Beyond the usual, how do I feel, and actually stopping long enough to answer the question, well, regular medical checkups are good, and a regular exercise regimen is also good, not just for overall fitness, but for strengthening areas that might need it. Also test yourself from time to time to ensure you're ready for the more physical elements of diving.
Like maybe jumping in the pool and swimming some laps?
An excellent example.
So let's say you do need to make some changes to your usual diving routine. What kind of adaptations can you make?
Well, that's an impossible question to answer completely, but some basics that come to mind are that if you need help, ask for it. If you're not able to lift a scuba tank, ask for someone to help. If a giant stride just isn't working for you anymore, consider doing back rolls instead. If you can't lift your fully assembled scuba unit, or if you can't move with it on, think about donning your gear in the water. Needing to adapt isn't a problem. It's only a problem if you let pride get in the way and refuse to do it.
Pride goeth before the fall.
How very fortune cookie.
Yeah, okay. My point is that sometimes being kind to yourself and admitting you need to adjust can actually keep you diving instead of signaling the end of your time in the water.
You're a wise man.
Feel free to share that nugget with your friends, but what else can we do?
Remember that knowledge is power. If you find yourself facing a change that may require adaptation, learn about it. Is it a medical condition? Learn about any symptoms that may affect your diving. Do you have to take medication? Know the possible side effects, and again, how they may affect or be affected by diving.
The medics at Dan are a good resource for that, right?
Absolutely. We answer questions about medical conditions and medication all the time. Sometimes we're able to impart all the information needed, and sometimes we're able to connect a diver with a knowledgeable medical professional who can work with them more closely. The important thing is that divers are learning what they need to know to change with the times, and we applaud and encourage it.
Will the medics really applaud if I call?
Only for you, Greg.
Cool. Are there any more common sense adaptations a diver can make?
Take it easy. We all need to slow down from time to time.
And sometimes we just slow down.
Sometimes we do, but either way, it's a good time to remember that there's no need to dive to extremes. Don't feel you have to go deep or stay as long as the profile allows. You don't have to complete a half dozen dives just because you used to. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking a longer surface interval between dives. Time spent topside can be just as much fun as time spent underwater.
Know thyself. Be kind to yourself. Take it easy.
You got it.
You know, this is all good advice no matter who you are.
Nothing cryptic about it.
You can't stop time, but it doesn't have to stop you either. Remember that change can be good provided you're willing to change with it. So don't be stubborn. Learn the art of adaptation and keep on going. Do that and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
And yes, says Ryan and CJ and Phil the producer, marvel at my shark teeth. You know, it is quite a feat. It is definitely something you need to do. And if you ever have the opportunity to go off of Venice Beach in Florida, and there's only a few places in the world where you can do this. There's some, I think there's a, they call like blackwater diving up north someplace, like, I want to say it's like South Carolina or someplace. I don't know where it is, but the water's so dark, it's muddy and you can't really even see your hand in front of your face. You have to look for shark teeth literally almost just by feeling the riverbed. So it's much better than that. Because you get a, you know, we had 5 foot of viz, and sometimes they get much better visibility than that. But even with 5 foot of viz, when you're looking for shark teeth on the bottom, you can find what you're looking for fairly easy. And you see all kinds of crabs and critters and things like that. So definitely a neat place to go for us folks here in Central Florida. And if you have the opportunity anywhere else in the country, you can come down to Venice Beach. That's definitely worth an afternoon dive right off the beach, or you can charter a vessel like the Aristocat, Arista-Cat with a K.com, I believe. You can find them on the web and go out on their boat and dive for Megalodon shark teeth. Pretty cool. CJ, what do you think? You want to do that or what?
Hell yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was. You know, say, I mean, and the fact that you did it, the same thing, you know, when you're looking for a lobster in the same week, or see a lobster walk and have that. I mean, that's like two things on your diver bucket list, so to speak, that you want to mark off the list. And I definitely did that. But I'll go back, and I want to do both. I want to see another lobster walk, and I want to get more shark teeth.
I would like to catch a lobster with the shark teeth.
Well, I did ask him if I should bring my lobster
looper.
I'd like
to use the shark teeth to catch the lobster.
Well, that would be you could use them to pry open the outer shell.
You could just freeze them with fear. You could put attach a megalodon shark to the end of your tickle stick.
Right.
And when they see it coming, they'll be so scared they'll just freeze.
Good point. Or you just stab them.
Well, I wasn't going to get that violent.
Okay. Well, I asked him if I should bring my looper with me on the shark tooth dive, but they said they don't have lobsters out there. Off the west coast.
No, the
of
megalodons ate them
not
all.
Not nearly. Exactly.
Wiped them out.
I did find an ancestor of the manatee rib bone, like a dugong.
That's,
like a
you
dugong.
Should have led with that because that's much less impressive.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Hey, better late than never. All right, more coming up. We got to give you an update on the Scuba Radio Mermaids and their quest to become dive instructors. That's next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
When you were little, all you needed to have fun was a sunny day, a boat, and some water. For three generations, Boat US has worked to maintain this carefree lifestyle by providing time and money-saving services for millions of boaters, including low-cost boat insurance, towing on and off the water, discounts on fuel and equipment, and so much more. Boat US keeps boating safe, simple, and affordable, so your family can still enjoy a sunny day on the water. Visit BoatUS.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Tell me true. Are you guys for scuba?
What does that mean?
I'm like the unofficial scuba king of St. Bart. So, if you are for scuba, I take you out on the boat. I'll show you the coral reef. We have kind of like a scuba party.
You know, that sounds great, but we're not certified, so we're going to have to pass.
That is no biggie. I get to resort certified. Couple of hours.
Oh, I have always wanted to try it.
Yeah.
Yes, I am the lobster slayer. I am also the lobster teeth getter. I got to come up with a better...
Not lobster teeth.
Huh? Lobster teeth, combine the two? Just
No, you said lobster teeth. You meant shark teeth.
I meant shark teeth. I'm the lobster... I don't know. I'm confused.
You're lobster loopy is what you are.
Yes, maybe that's what it is. But you do kind of get high on lobster and teeth when that happens in 1 week. It's amazing.
You know what's nice?
What?
I will be perfectly honest with you. You are sometimes a pain in the neck to dive with because you've done a lot of diving and you are quite often a little blasé about some of the stuff. You know, that CJ and I see something, say, oh, that's so cool. Yeah, it's the 10 millionth time.
Been there, done that.
Nice to see you excited like this.
Yes. I'm almost excited as watching one of our mermaids become a more established and educated divers. You know,
is it an optional surgery?
I don't think they've been augmented anyway, but Mermaid Nikki's on the line. Maybe she can address that. How you doing, Nikki?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. You are becoming or on a quest to become an official Maui dive instructor, are you not?
Totally.
And we are documenting this experience at scubaradio.com in the forum. There's the Mermaid Nikki and Mermaid Abby dive instructor blog, and they've been updating things there in the Scuba Radio forum. You can follow along for fun and frolic at home. But Nikki, where are you at in the process?
We just finished our rescue diver. All we need to do is take the test. So we done our dive master, our nitrox, and our rescue diver. So when we go back, we'll be starting our assistant instructor and our instructor.
Okay, so you're an official rescue diver, thanks to the folks at Commercial Diving Academy. We're going to talk to Scott here in hour two, who runs that fine facility at 40 Fathom Grotto. And we're going to go on a dive trip next week, so you'll be able to save us. Or save
totally,
me.
Oh, yeah.
If I start drowning, you're going to save me on the liveaboard next week?
I might be a little hesitant if it's you.
Yeah, don't let him trick you into giving him mouth-to-mouth. He's been trying that with me for years.
Hey, now. Oh, jeez. All right, well, there you go. Follow along with Nikki and Abby there at the Scuba Radio Forum. They got a little dive blog, and maybe you'll learn a few things and want to become a dive instructor, too. That's what it's all about. Hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is on deck. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.